Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20, 10 to 12. Our eyes are upon thee. You know, when trouble comes, we live in a world that's full of trouble. You know, but we have the God of the universe. He's here for us. He didn't put us in this world and leave us to fend for ourselves.
Thank you.
I was thinking about, I don't know a lot about animals, but I hear that birds, when they get a little older, the mom takes it out and turns it loose and let it try to, you know, try its wings, right? After a while, of course, the mom leaves them. They have to go for themselves. But God's not like that. He helps us. He wants us to be strengthened, and he wants us to exercise our strength, but he's always there.
Thank the Lord.
It was something in that song, Sister Patsy, you all were singing. I can't get it, but it's Jesus is there with us. I don't remember all the words. He doesn't leave us.
No, he doesn't.
He will be there for whatever situation we're in. You see, if we don't put our eyes and keep our eyes on the Lord, the problems of this world, the stresses, the disasters, will overwhelm us. And so, and we are no match for the enemy. You know, some people feel pretty strong and they think they can fight through their way through. Some people live like that. They feel like they can fight, you know. If something, they can fight for themselves. But I don't believe the Lord wants his people to be like that.
No.
He wants us to depend on him.
Yes.
He wants us to keep our eyes on him. Because, you see, the enemy of our soul is very tricky. There are things that about our nature that we might not know, and he sees it, and he tries to use those things to trap us and to trick us and to ensnare us. For instance, if I'm a very person that's very touchy and easy to get offended, the devil will take that and use that to ensnare us. Or maybe I'm a person, I love for people to be pleased with me. He can use our very natures, the things about us, to trap us. Yeah. So we need to realize that we're fighting a devil that knows a lot how to trap people.
Right.
But he doesn't know everything. And he's not as powerful as God.
Amen.
I was thinking about Job. Job, the enemy was talking, Satan was talking to God about Job and told him that if you have a hedge around, he's serving you. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And the devil said, well, you got a hedge around him. Take that hedge away from him. You know, you blessed all he has. He'll curse you to your face. So the Lord allowed him to touch his things, but not him. But Job didn't curse him. So the devil felt he knew Job so well that he was able to turn him against God. But he didn't. So what I'm saying is this. He's very tricky. He knows a lot, but he doesn't know everything. Because if we live for God, we're in a hiding place.
Thank the Lord.
And he can't get us. But we have to stay in that place.
That's right.
We have to keep our eyes on the Lord, because if we get our eyes around these things, we're going to be tripped up. 2 Chronicles 20.
And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, that they turned from them and destroyed them not. 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
Amen. So you see how they, they were overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They really didn't know what they could do with this. But then they put their eyes on the Lord. So let's read on and see.
And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. 14. Then about Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Joel, the son of Messiah, and Levi, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. 14. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God.
Thank the Lord. You can stop right there. So no matter what it seems like, if you feel like, you know, I have a disease, this is going to take me out of here. You know, get your eyes off the situation, the disease, the sickness, or whatever, and put your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Because the battle is not ours, but God.
Amen.
And he's fully able to take us through, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what problem we have, no matter how the devil try to come against you with all his power. God's power is greater.
Amen.
Let's keep our eyes on the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We can't do it in ourselves, but we can certainly do it with God. Let's go to 2 Kings 6 and 8. Let's be of good courage. You know, we're living in times, sometimes it seems almost like when Job, when one thing happened, before the sermon could finish speaking, another was happening, and then before that one could finish speaking, another was happening. This is the way the enemy was working with Job. Well, we're living in that kind of time.
Lord,
it
God.
Seemed like by the time you say, well, this one is sick, then something else is happening. In the same way, like disasters are happening like that. One place is not enough rain. No rain, it's drought. Another place is too much rain, it's flooding. Another place is a storm, it's a hurricane or a tornado. And it's one thing right after another. The enemy of our soul is trying to crash down upon us. But we need to take our eyes from around all of these things that's happening, lift them up to Jesus, because he'll take us through. He will take care of his people. Let's be encouraged. Let's have courage. Let's not fear. Remember, God is greater than the devil.
Yes, yes.
God's power is greater than anything. Let's go to, let's read now.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel, took counsel with the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent it to the king of Israel, saying, beware, thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tell the king of Israel the words which thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
Lord, have mercy.
13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I might send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? 16, and he answered, fear not, for they be with us are more than they that be with them.
Amen. Stop just a minute. You see, these people were so distraught. He kept trying to come against Israel, and every time he would, Elijah would tell him just what Elisha would tell him just where, okay, don't go there because they're going to be there, and he would do that, and this king was thinking, well, some of my men must be telling what I'm doing. But no, it was God revealing to him. And he said, so then he found out that this was happening, found out where Elisha was, and he sent all this army of people to surround him. And when his servant looked out and he saw they were surrounded, he said, master, what shall we do? But what did Elisha say? It's more with us than it be with them. Read 17.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
Amen. You can stop just then for now. You know, we need our eyes open to what God is doing and what he can do. You know, we need to just stop looking at the circumstances. It looks like impossible. It looks like I'm going down. It looks like, you know, but our eyes, just put our eyes on him. Because it's more with us than it be with them. It's more with us than the very things that the enemy are bringing against us. We have power with God. Do you know the power we have? We can tap in to the power that's in the Almighty God that made heaven and earth. Can we recognize what a powerful God we have? Sometimes we just, woe is me, like we don't have nothing, no power. But yes, we do. If we live for God, that same power that he has, he will give it to us and help us to fight the battle, to win. We're going to win. If we trust him, we're going to win. We're not going to come out a loser. Even if we are sick and the Lord sees fit to take us, we will not lose. We will be a winner. You know, it's a win-win situation when we're trusting in God. Sometimes people think, oh, if you trust God, you're going to lose. No, because what can I gain? We're going to leave here anyway. We will leave here some way, somehow, whether it's with a sickness or death, or sudden death. We're not going to stay here. Amen. We're going to stay here as long as God has for us to stay here. And when it's time to go, we're going to go. even people in the world that use all of these things to keep them here, even them have to go at some time, at some point. Even the doctors have to go at some time, at some point. So let's be encouraged to trust in the living God. Let's read 18 now.
When he came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, Is not the way, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Mm-hmm.
Keep going to 23.
Pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria.
Mm-hmm. Read on to 23. All the way to 23.
All right. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha when he saw him, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? 22. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. 23. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the band of Syria came no more into the land of Israel.
See how the Lord delivered them.
Yes.
Here they were there surrounding Elisha like they were going to take him. The Lord allowed, Elisha asked the Lord to smite him with blindness. He did. And then he led them to the very king that they've been trying to invade. And you know, by them doing that, the king asked, well, should I smite him? He said, no, feed him. Put food on him. Give him food. And you know, by doing that, those people, when they went home, they didn't even bother them anymore. God has a way, and his way is not our ways, but we can trust in him. And you can. Do you know, I believe in this very dark day that we're living in, that God wants to show his mighty power. He wants some people that can trust him, where he can show his power. Now, look, they didn't have to do anything. Elisha didn't have to raise a hand or nothing. Just trust God.
Thank the Lord.
We can do that too. I believe the Lord wants us to do that very same day thing. Let's go to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Now this chapter, it's about, it comes behind the faith chapter. How that if through chapter 11, there's many had, through faith, had moved, conquered and all of this. And in this scripture says, read it for me.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the grace that is set before us. 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
In other words, we have all of these examples before us.
Yes.
Now, what should we do? Look under Jesus.
That's right.
That's what we should do. Yes. We can look under Jesus. Amen. Jesus conquered for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Just as Jesus conquered, we can conquer if we would keep our eyes upon him. Now let's go now to Exodus 14 and 13. God wants us not to be dismayed. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to keep our eyes on him, and he is going to fight our battles, and we'll be winners. We will win. I know everybody that enters a race or enters a competition, they enter it to win. Well, we've entered this race, and we entered it to win. We don't want to lose. We don't have to lose. If we get our eyes off of the Lord, we will lose. But we have to keep our eyes on him.
13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever.
Just a minute. These poor Israelites were in a dilemma. They had left Egypt, and they had come face to face with the Red Sea. And it looked like, how in the world are we going to get by? We're going to die in this wilderness. And they began to murmur and complain, but Moses is encouraging them to know that God is going to deliver them. And I want us to look, I know most of us know this, but let's look at this great deliverance that God did for them. And just like he did it for them, he's still the same today. Yes. He hasn't lost one ounce of his power. We just need to claim his power. We just need to claim his promises. We need to stand on them. We need to know them and stand flat-footed on them and trust God. Let's not let anything come on us and make us afraid or dismayed or murmur or complain. But let's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Read on, please.
And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea.
Thank the Lord.
17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get my honor upon him, Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten my honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen.
Okay, I want you to stop just a minute. You see the purpose of this?
Yes.
Is that God could get honor. I believe God wants honor today.
Yes.
He wants some of us is willing to go through some things and trust him where he can get honor, where people will know that he's God Almighty. You know, the people today have turned their backs and their hearts away from God. They don't respect him like they should. But God is allowing things so that he can get honor in this day.
Yes.
Keep reading, please.
And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to those, so that one came not near the other all the night.
Amen.
21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. 25. And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighted for them against the Egyptians.
Yes. And we can stop there for now. But you see, I kind of, when I read this, you know, it's amazing, because I don't know how many times I haven't read this, but each time it's something you can get out of. Can you imagine how that God so provided that the walls of water were walled up and it was dry ground for the Israelites? But what about those Egyptians? Can you imagine them having the nerve, knowing? Now, this is a miracle. This is not no ordinary thing. You got walls of water here and walls of water here, and you got dry ground in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the sea, and they start chasing behind it. They should have realized, this is something, a miracle God has provided for these Israelites.
Yes.
But instead, they just, it's a word that I want to say, they just presumptuous, I think, and walked right on in there like God was going to take care of them, Lord, to go after the ones God worked out of deliverance.
Have mercy, Lord.
Didn't make sense, did it? And so read on the last verse. 20, I think it was 27.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. The Egyptians fled against it. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left.
I want us to think, do you think that the God of heaven was able to do that today, that he can't do something that good for us? I mean, then, that he can't do the same for us?
Yes.
He can make a way when it seems to be no way. But all we need to do is to believe and trust him.
Amen.
If we are afraid, or if we're not believing, we don't get what we could get. He wants us to believe in him. Let's go to Isaiah 41:10.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness.
Fear not, for I will be with thee.
Yes.
Oh, I hope that the little bit that I'm saying today will inspire your faith and confidence in God not to fear when you're in a serious situation, no matter what kind it is. It doesn't matter. It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. Whatever the case is, God is able to take care of it. And all he wants is a people that will have simple childlike faith and confidence in him that he will supply every need.
Yes,
let's go to Psalms 47 and 10. We want to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Yes, we do.
At 46 and 10, I mean.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
So if you really need a scripture to remember, write that one down. Memorize it. Be still and know that I am God. Know that He is God Almighty. He will be exalted in the earth. He is going to be exalted even in this dark time. We're going to see that God is God Almighty. And He is to be respected. Even though people don't respect Him, even though they look down on Him and think that He's treat Him like He's under them. But one day, He's going to be respected. Every single, that scripture said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's going to happen. But we as His people, we don't need to be afraid or scared or cast down or dismayed. We need to look and keep our eyes on the Lord. I was thinking about Peter, how that as long as Peter was had his eyes on the Lord, he walked on the water.
Yes.
What a wonderful thing. But you know, it could have even been better had he kept his eyes on the Lord, walked all the way to Him.
Yes.
Let us keep our eyes on the Lord, and He will supply our needs. Pray for me.